Welcome, dear viewers, to the show. It's only the start of 2012, but already coast to coast we hear reports that humanity has evolved globally. Now that we know the cause of all our woes, Joseph Kony. The world's now on a better path, and the panacea seems to have come from this hero white man here, whose internet video played a vital role in highlighting the plight of Uganda's child soldiers. It went viral and spread with unprecedented speed, shared over Twitter feeds and endorsed by celebrities. To tell us more, we're happy to have him on. It's General Baxter, representing AFRICOM. General Baxter, good to see you.
Right back at ya.
Tell us, what does all this signify for Africa?
Well, Robert,
I can tell you for a start, Kony 2012 really made me appreciate art. When my son showed me this clip, my heart was stirred. I whispered to action to right the wrong that occurred. Tell us your feelings, General. Be honest. Since we killed Osama, there's been a hole in my stomach. Sorry to hear that.
I miss him.
Why?
Because we desperately need a new dark-skinned Disney villain so we can justify defense budgets of trillions in a never-ending quest to kill him. And this time, it's African soil where we need to get him broiled and quick before China gets all the oil.
So this Kony is a perfect gift, then.
He looks like a bad guy and he hurts children.
Kony 2012 was an experiment. Was it a success?
Yes. Kids are begging the U.S. to bomb Africa next. Check this out. Let me introduce you to Gavin, my son.
Gavin, what does Daddy do?
Kill poor people. With guns.
Yeah. Now look what happens when I show Gavin a picture of an African. Who's this?
That's a bad guy.
That's right. And what do we do to bad guys?
We use drones and armed forces to kill them and take their resources.
Yeah, see, Robert? Even a four-year-old has got it. This makes me so proud. Sorry.
The video's done more than you ever envisaged, and in 27 minutes, without cats or pity.
We used to have to wait for terrorist attacks to justify interventions and mineral grabs. Now, thanks to viral videos, we can send advisors to lynch, arrest, black, bad guys.
And what will you do once they've been caught?
Hand them over to the International Criminal Court.
You mean the same court which the U.S. refuses to submit to for its own war crimes and abuses? Is that hypocrisy?
Robert, honestly, the ICC only prosecutes dark people's atrocities.
Okay, I hear there's been criticism of the video's accuracy, fallacies, and neo-colonial fantasies.
Don't have such a heart of darkness, Robert. Join the missionary industrial complex. Save poor Africa from burning. Accept the white man's burden. Plus, 90 million Americans now know that Africa exists. That's good, no?
I suppose so. All right, General Baxter, thanks for appearing tonight to explain the facts in black and, well, mostly white. Some might disagree with this call to make Kony famous, but what we've witnessed this week is nevertheless momentous. A demonstration of this internet's potential abilities to instantly inform and engage tens of millions, and a willingness of those millions of people to engage passionately with something more meaningful. Combined, these are promising signs of the potential energy that lies dormant and primed, ready to rise when the moment arrives. What that moment will be, we shall see in time.
Welcome to another exciting broadcast. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. You're listening to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. Today's date, according to the Gregorian calendar, is March 17th, 2012. Let me do a quick sound check here. Okay. Now, last week, March 8th, was the celebration of the Jewish holiday called Purim. Okay. Purim considered, this coincides with the Hebrew New Year. Okay. That's what Purim does. It's like, it's not a celebration of the Hebrew New Year, but it coincides with the Hebrew New Year. Okay. The reason why it coincides with it is because Passover, okay, is 14 days later. Now, this is very important to understand. Why? Because the power of the Hebrews, of the seed of Yaakov, is unity. Now, I say this a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it until you understand it. It's just that important, okay? The power of the Hebrews, of the seed of Jacob, is in unity. Now, understand, I said the power of the seed of Jacob, not the Jews of the seed of Esau or the Amalekites of the seed of Cain or the Ashkenazi Jews of the seed of Gomer or the Sephardic Jews of the seed of Japhet. None of those, but the Hebrews of the seed of Jacob, the ancient people, the original people, the people of the covenant of Ayah. Let's make this clear, okay? Now, it is very important for these people to know when the proper time is to be celebrated. What is the proper time of the celebration of the Passover, okay? Why? Because when these people wake up to who they are, and then they start to act in unison, the Most High will heal our land, as it states in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And for those of you that aren't familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Okay? Very important to understand that. Heal their land. First, I want to welcome those in the chat room. Thank you for coming. Welcome for those that have called in thus far. This is going to be a very informative broadcast, and this is going to be important for the archives. So let's get it started. So to understand that March 8th was the new year, okay? I didn't come in last week because I had a birthday party to go to, and I wanted really wanted to be here, but I had to show my respects to a friend, so I wasn't here to actually explain when this new year was occurring. But on the March 8th, if you look this up in the calendar, that is the time of Purim. It's very important. Okay. Now we know this because those that call themselves Jews, they celebrate a fictitious holiday on this date. Now, I say fictitious because you have to understand why and when this book of Esther was put into this Bible and what its main purpose was for. Very important. Okay? Now, the new year that starts on March 8th, if this is the case, if this is the new year, that means 14 days later will be the Passover. And that date falls on March 22nd, 2012. Write this date down. March 22nd, 2012 is the real official Passover of the Hebrews of the seed of Jacob. Okay? Now, keep in mind, Babylon means confusion, and confusion is the power of the usurper. He is able to rule and stay in power based on the way that he confuses us. Y'all probably just heard me sip some or sipping some drink. But let me finish. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some verses. And I cannot emphasize how important it is for us to get this. But I'm going to read some verses. All right? And I'm going to show you where it says in scriptures about the Passover, and how you find that month in which you are supposed to celebrate it, and how you know that you are of the seed of Jacob, and what date you should celebrate it on. Okay, now, Deuteronomy 16:1, and it reads, "Observe the month of Abib." Okay, now, guess what? We're in the month of Abib right now. Okay, we're in the month of Abib. We just came here on March 8th. Very interesting. Now, what does it say? "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Ayah, thy Yah. For the month of Abib, the Most High, thy Yah, brought thee forth out of Egypt by night." Well, when did that happen? Okay, this is talking about the Passover. Okay, now, When you look at the WhoAnet website and you follow the calendar, you will notice that we are now into the month of Abib. Abib is also called Nisan. So since it's the 17th, we are 9 days into the first month of the year. So if we're 9 days into the first month of the year, that means 5 days from today is the Passover, March 22nd, 2012. Okay? Leviticus 23:5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Most High's Passover. Numbers 9:1. It reads, "And the Most High spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Jacob also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in this appointed season according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies. Therefore shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Jacob that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, which is Abib, at eve, even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Most High commanded Moses, so did the children of Jacob." Okay? Now, the book of Joshua. This is the book that is not included in the five books. Now, remember, it wasn't we didn't create the book. This book should have been in there. But they decided to keep it out. And what does it say in the book of Joshua? It's Joshua 5:10. It says, "And the children of Jacob encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho." Okay? Ezra 6:16. "And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month." When's the first month? Abib. Ezekiel 45:21. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, ye shall have the Passover at feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten." And of course, Deuteronomy 16:1 again, it says, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Most High thy Yah. For in the month of Abib, the Most High thy Yah brought thee forth out of Egypt by night." Okay? Now, something happened on this day that we should not look over. On the day of the Passover, the moon was in its dark moon phase. And this phase lasted 3 days. This is why they call it the new moon. Because on the third day, the moon reappears. Understand, this is Babylonian religion. This is why they celebrate the new months on the dark moon. It's Babylonian. Very important. Okay? Now, can you see this? The moon is dead for 2 days, and on the third day, it is reborn. Where have we heard that before? Okay? It's dead, and then it rises. Observe the moon. Observe when it's dark. It's dark for 3 days. And then it rises up. It's reborn. This is Babylon. Now, we should always keep in mind that we are in the midpoint of the month when the 14th day comes. That means that we're half the month is complete. Okay? That means 14 days later will be the new month. Now, when does this fall on? It falls on a full moon. You see, all this time we've been following the Babylonian system of timekeeping. And we didn't even know it. But why is this? It's because they know that if they can take away these dates and times that you follow, then they take away your power. And if we get it back, then we are in unison. And if we're in unison, then we have power, because then we know we cannot be deceived. Okay? Now, I want you to observe what was written by in the book of Daniel. And here it reads. It says Daniel 7:25. Now, many of us know this. And it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of times. Okay? So, from this verse, ask yourself a question. When did this beast, this demonic being, this beast change times and laws? Now, here's a question I have for you. How many of you celebrated the new year on January 1st? Everybody celebrated the new year on January 1st in the United States of America, a place where we were taken to. We have taken on the religion of our captives, forgotten who we were. But it says in the word that the month has to fall on Abib. That's not, January is not Abib. That's like 3 months early. Okay? So now we have to ask, why do these people that call themselves Jews celebrate it on an incorrect day? Under an incorrect moon? Because someone stole your culture. And Daniel 7:25 tell you who. It's the beast. Don't argue with me about this because you don't agree. Do your research. Vital. Daniel 7:26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So, brothers and sisters of the Seed of Yaakov, we have the victory. Brothers and sisters of the Seed of Yaakov, we have the victory, because the greatness of his kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the saints of the Most High, Ayah. Now, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom? And all dominions serve and obey him. Okay? Now, we know the Most High's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We have the victory. Okay? We have the victory. Now, before I begin this broadcast, I would like to open with a message to our Father. Once again, you are listening to Signs and Wonders. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus, and this is the Hebrew Council meeting number 17. And the title is Prepare for War. Okay? let me begin. Father Ayah, I humbly ask in the name of our forefathers and the covenant that you made with them, in the name of Yahushua, if he was murdered by the Edomites of 33 AD or the Edomites of 160 BC, in the name of Yahushua, the one that brought us back to you, Father, in his name we ask that you hear our message. I ask that you help us honor the covenant that you made with us and with our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And that we be that peculiar treasure that you created us to be, Father. Ayah, help us defeat these demons. Wake up your children and help us fulfill the prophecies that are written in the book of Ezekiel, O Father. As it reads, and he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Ayah. Thus saith the Most High Yah, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. O Father, honor this. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. O Father. And ye shall know that I am Yahuwah, the Most High, Yah-Ayah. I ask, Father, that you fulfill these words and wake up the Hebrews of the Seed of Yaakov. Guide us back to you, Father, Help us reestablish our covenant to be the priest of the Most High. I ask that you keep this humble heart in my chest and give me the self-confidence to carry out this work, because it is a great work, Father. And at times I do feel tired, Father. I pray that you give me the strength to continue and bind and bound these principalities in high places. I thank you, Father, for honoring me with this message. I thank you for your love and patience. I thank you, Father, for your love, your gift, and your spirit, Yahshua. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I'm going to play a quick audio file, and then I'm going to come back, but I'm going to go over the agenda for today. It's of course, we had the open message to our Father. I read through a couple scriptures. We're going to speak about Propaganda 101. We'll be speaking on AFRICOM and the Kony 2012 deception that's floating around out there. We're going to speak about preparing for war. What this is, we will be speaking on the new colonialization of Africa. And then we're going to have an open dialogue. I'll open it up for those that want to speak. And then, of course, we're going to open. We're going to close in prayer to the Father. Okay? And if you want to speak, just put put your hand up. I think you press 1, and then I'll answer your call. And those in the chat room, if you want to say something, just write something in the chat, and I'll try to answer. Brother D is actually not here today. Brother D had some family affairs that he had to deal with. I asked that everybody sends their prayers out to Brother D, because it's been a hard week for him. And Brother D, if you're listening, I just want to say, tell your sister that, you know, my prayers are with her, and with you too, my brother, and the children that are involved and the whole family, because I know it's a really hard time right now. And let's just, I just want to say that, you know, you're a good friend of mine, my brother, and I just want, you know, I send you my love to you and your family. Okay, now I'm going to play y'all something, and then after I play this, it's going to be self-explanatory, but then, you know, we're going to talk about it. All right, I have to find it now. I have it set up here. Let me see. Here it is. Okay, I'm going to play this, and then I will be right back.
During the global economic downturn, it was mineral-rich Africa holding steady. The continent was less exposed to the crisis, as the price of raw materials held firm. Africa's oil consumption per capita is the lowest in the world, but the continent holds more than 10% of the world's reserves and supplies 4% of what the world demands. Nearly half of Africa's countries have refineries, with more on the way, and there have been recent discoveries of oil in Uganda and Ghana. Abiy Selassie of the International Monetary Fund says private companies have been attracted to Africa in recent years because of its improved business environment.
Uganda, which has put in place a fairly strong private sector environment, has seen a lot of interest by oil companies. And again, that's one of the cases where there's some excitement about, where there's been some commercially viable oil finds on the western part of the country along the border with the DRC.
But Uganda has to be careful not to fall into the same cycle of corruption and wealth sharing that has occurred in other African countries, such as Nigeria, Sudan, and others. Faribourg Gadara of Pennsylvania State University says oil has both benefits and drawbacks for Africa.
On one hand, it gives the central government enormous amount of wealth. But on the other hand, if the central government does not do a good job in managing it, it actually brings about political instability, and that's called the curse of oil.
There are very few countries that can show transformations of the economies as a result of being oil exporters. Today, many people have learned that having oil is not enough. It's more a matter of how you use it and the way you use it equitably.
Ghana is known for its gold and cocoa, but recent oil discoveries there mean Ghana could soon become a significant oil-producing nation.
Now, it's not going to become Saudi Arabia, but it will be producing enough oil to satisfy its domestic needs with some left over for export. The key, of course, to Ghana's future is to use this newfound wealth wisely.
Ernest Ariete of Brookings agrees and says the biggest challenge for new oil-producing nations is to make sure the revenues can be used to support other parts of the economy.
That's why in countries like Ghana and also in Uganda, you find the government's making a lot of efforts to enter into agreements that oblige these oil companies to have local subcontractors. And that is a major departure from the arrangements that obtained in Nigeria or in Sudan.
Ghana plans to regulate its oil industry by controlling how many subcontractors and local firms are employed in oil projects. Foreign companies interested in drilling for oil in Ghana are sweetening their offers to do so. Faribourg Gadar says the companies might offer a variety of incentives.
We'll come over there, but we'll build the infrastructure as well. So we'll look for oil and we'll build railroads, or we'll look for oil and we'll build a dam. And that is also attractive.
The International Monetary Fund says while oil can bring substantial revenue, Uganda, for example, needs to have a strong fiscal policy, avoid inappropriate use of public resources, and raise the country's ability to invest in itself. I'm Philip Alexio, VOA News.
Okay, welcome back. I played that audio file, so, you know, because this is pretty much going to set the pace of the rest of the broadcast. I mean, this is very, very, very important. Man, I hope I can articulate it today, because there's a lot going on here, and a lot of people, I don't think y'all caught it. But first, let me, I got a phone call here, and make sure. Is this 203?
Yeah, hey, Brother Dawid.
Hello.
Hey, Sister Shawanda. How are you?
Hey, sister. How you doing? Really
okay.
Good.
Okay. I know I'm going to enjoy the rest of the program because I'm enjoying it now. I was just thinking when you were talking about they were going to recolonize Africa, I was sitting here and I got very nervous, like a little bit sick to my stomach, because we already know what happened with the first colonialization, you know. And I'm just a little nervous, well, a lot nervous for the brothers and sisters over there in Africa, because I don't know exactly what they're going to do. I have an ideal, but it's just not something that I want to see done. I know they've been doing things a lot. You know, they've been doing things, but, you know, it's just a little disheartening that they're, you know, that they're going back over there.
You know something, sister? Even by me saying they're going to recolonize Africa, that's kind of like misleading, because they're already colonized.
They never left.
They never left. But they're going to do something that's horrible, because they are talking about recolonizing. That means that they're going to do something else. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's going to be really bad.
Something else always means death.
Oh my goodness! Wait till I go over this broadcast. You'll pretty much, you'll get it.
I'll be listening.
Okay, sister, but I'm gonna probably speak for about maybe 20 minutes or so, and then I'm gonna open the lines and we can start discussing it. Okay.
Okay.
All right, sister. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the recolonization of Africa. I'm gonna. Okay. Now, how many of you heard of AFRICOM? Okay. Now, I'm going to read the AFRICOM statement. Now, if I get cut off, hang in there. I'm going to call on my home phone, because if it gets too deep, you know they do. They be cutting the line and stuff, but hang in there. We're going to complete this broadcast today. Now, I'm going to read to you what it says on the AFRICOM website. It says, the United States Africa Command, also known as U.S. AFRICOM, is one of nine unified combatant commands of the U.S. Department of Defense, DOD, as one of the six that are regionally focused. It is devoted solely to Africa. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Every time these people do something demonic, they always use numerology. Now, any of you have been listening, those of you that have been listening to my broadcast, you know that number 9 and number 6 are always these little demonic numbers they got going on there. And of course, the number 9 is significant because that's always in association with this Illuminati force. All right? Now, I'm going to keep reading it. It says, U.S. AFRICOM is responsible to the Secretary of Defense for U.S. military relations with 54 African countries. Now, there's 54 again. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, I'm just throwing it out there. I ain't trying to get all weird or nothing here. I'm just saying that without, let's just think of it like this. The people that are doing this are extremely arrogant. They're kind of childish, but demonic childish. They play with numbers. They play with dates and times. And I think this is how they're getting their power, and it's like a religion to them, okay? So whenever we read them speaking about things, they're always talking in these codes, okay? But I don't want to get into that. We're going to talk about AFRICOM. That's just another subject. I want us to concentrate on this. Now, and it continues. U.S. AFRICOM better enables the Department of Defense to work with other elements of the United States government and others to achieve a more stable environment where political and economic growth can take place. U.S. AFRICOM is committed to supporting U.S. government's objectives through the delivery and sustainment of effective security cooperation programs that assist African nations build their security capability to enable them to better provide for their own defense. Now, y'all know that's all a bunch of bull crap. Okay, we're gonna break it down, but this is like selling us something. What you selling us? All right, then it says the command was created by President Order in 2007. Numerology again. I'm 7, 8, 9. 2007. There's 9 again. And was officially activated October 1st, 2007. What is October? The 8th month. October plus 1. 9. 9 again, 2007, okay? All right, let me stop. Okay, it became fully operational October 1st, 2008, with General William E. Kit Ward serving as its first commander. U.S. Army General Carter F. Ham became the second commander of U.S. AFRICOM on March 9th, 2011. Okay, now, here is the African mission statement. All right. What does the African mission statement say? It says, African Command protects and defends the national security interest of the United States by strengthening the defense capability of African states and regional organizations. And when dictated, when direct conducts military operations in order to deter and defeat transnational threats and to provide a security environment conducive to good governments and developments. Now, why did I read this information on AFRICOM? Or better stated, AFRICOM. Well, because we are witnessing the Scramble for Africa Part 2. Or let's say Scramble for Africa Scene 2, the continuance. This is a repeat of the 1885 usurpation of the Africans by the Europeans. It's the same people again. We got NATO bombing people. We got the United States. We got Great Britain up there in the background hiding out. They're re-scrambling for Africa. They're trying to get these rare minerals. See, AFRICOM is nothing less than the means in which these elite powers, the same European powers that killed Gaddafi, and they stole his gold, 144 tons of gold, the same elite powers that developed this East Indian Company, you remember the East Indian Company in the 19th century, the one that killed 50 million people in Bangladesh by famine because they did not want them to eat their own rice because they wanted to sell it. And because the East Indian Company did not let the Bangladesh sell their rice, 50 million people died. These people are the ones that are in control. And then we have the IMF and the World Bank. You see, this is the same old, same old. These are the ones that created AFRICOM. And what does it say? It says AFRICOM. Command protects and defends the national interest, the national security interest of the United States. Now, why in the hell are the United States national security interests threatened in Africa? Africans ain't no threat to United States, but yet they built AFRICOM in 2007 to deal with the African threat. Oh, really? So you mean when the CIA killed Patrick Lumumba, the elected president, mind you, of the Congo in 1966, or how the CIA placed Charles McCarthy Gonkey Taylor as president of Liberia after they assassinated the elected president by the name of Samuel Kayon Doe in 1990. Now, is this how African plans to protect the United States' interests? Oh, how about the when the CIA backed a coup in Ghana in 1961 and the assassination of the elected president, Kwame Nkrumah? Or when the CIA involved in the coups and the assassinations in Nigeria, the CIA involvement in the Anglo Civil Wars, the CIA involvement in the Somalia, Sudan, South Africa, and Libya, the CIA involvement in putting this guy by the name of Museveni in power in 1986. And how he remains in power in 2012. And how Museveni was made a dictator that is backed by the World Bank, IMF, Great Britain, and the United States. And how this man remains in power as the president of Uganda for almost 30 years. So is this the AFRICOM? Is this what AFRICOM means when they say that we're here to protect the interests of the United States? So what, are we stupid? Now, what does it say? It says, AFRICOM Command protects and defends the national security interests of the United States by strengthening the defense capabilities of African states and regional organizations, and when directed, conducts military operations in order to deter and defeat transnational threats and to provide a security environment conducive to good governance and development. You know what I see here? All I see here is them saying, we're going to Africa. And we're going to get us some slaves. We're going to give them some guns and make sure that they're obedient to us. I mean, it's the same old, same old. Well, I think sister has something to say. Hey, sister, you got something to say?
Are you talking to me, Brother Dawid?
Yeah, I noticed you put your hand up.
Oh, you know what? I didn't realize my hand was up. I was just listening. No, you can keep on going. I don't have anything to say right now.
Okay, I'm going to keep on going then. Okay, let me see. Okay, now, okay, guys, now I bring this up because, you know, of this film floating around the internet and mainstream media. They call it Coney 2012, or better stated, Phony 2012, or Conme 2012. I mean, come on now. They treat us like children. This is 100% propaganda. I made up a new word. It's propaganda, not propaganda. Propaganda. It's a grand propaganda. It's the grandest propaganda that they got. I mean, this is pitiful. Okay, I'm gonna play something now. And I'm gonna set this clip up. In Uganda, they have showed the movie because they want to you know, get support for this Kony 2012 thing. So what did they do? The government of Uganda, and the president is Museveni. Okay, please do research on this. Do research on Museveni. The man is evil. He's demonic. He's hurting people. And he is the puppet of the United States of America, the IMF, and World Bank. Do research on this man. Okay? Now, what does he do? He sets up the screening in Uganda. Now, I'm going to play you the reaction of the Ugandan people when they actually saw him. Okay? Now, let me set the clip up. I got to find it really quick. And then, okay, here it is. Only about 2 minutes and 39 seconds long. All right, here we go.
Over 70 million people have already seen the Kony 2012 video worldwide, but almost nobody has seen it here in northern Uganda, the area worst affected by Joseph Kony's Rebel Lords Resistance Army, because there's little internet access. And so a charity organized a public screening in the town of Lira, inviting local reaction.
It would have been better if initially people in the north looked through and say, we agree to that, it would make sense. And if we had not brought it down here, no one would bring it, and they would be completely excluded.
Kony and the LRA are no longer in Uganda, having fled to neighboring countries, leaving victims groups like this one trying to rebuild their lives. Many, scarred or maimed for life, have traveled to town to see the film that the world has been talking about. Leo Odongo was abducted by the LRA. He says he'll never forget the day a landmine blew off his arm and killed 4 of his friends as he tried to escape. He's heard about the video on local radio. He says he supports the campaign for Kony's arrest, but he thinks some of the promotion methods sound offensive.
If people in those countries care about us, they will not wear t-shirts with pictures of Joseph Kony for any reason. That would celebrate our suffering.
But invisible children are adamant their strategy is justified and effective.
I understand why a lot of people are wondering, is this just some slick kind of fly-by-night slacktivist thing, when actually it's not at all. It's actually it's connected to a really deep, thoughtful, very intentional and strategic campaign.
News of the screening spreads far and a large crowd gathers at sunset. They're expecting to watch a film that documents their suffering as they perceive it. For many people here, the video is simply puzzling. It contains footage of an American man, his son, and it documents events that happened here in northern Uganda years ago. But as the film progresses, puzzlement turns into anger.
There are some kind of people, there are some kind of NGO who are trying to mobilize funds using the atrocities committed in northern Uganda.
We wanted to see how our local people were killed.
Correct.
So these are all white men. These are feeling different from northern Uganda.
That is why sometimes...
Rocks are thrown, the screening comes to a halt, and the crowd scatters into the night. Kony 2012 may be the most watched video on YouTube this year, but it clearly doesn't resonate with many of the people it claims it's meant to help. Malcolm Webb, Al Jazeera, in Lira Town, northern Uganda.
Okay. Now, you know, in Uganda, they throw rocks and people start to scatter. In the United States, we start shooting at the screen. So we same everywhere. Throw some rocks. Hey! Knock somebody out and then running. And then U.S., we just start shooting. And I'm trying to make light of this, but I shouldn't. I shouldn't make light of it. Now, I wanted to play that because the Ugandans know BS when they smell it. Okay? They know BS when they smell it. And they threw rocks at the screen. They can't even show it in Uganda because they're like, man, what are they trying to make money? This ain't what happened. And if you guys start looking on the internet, you'll see that there's actually people from Uganda that are like saying, man, this Kony, we ain't heard from this man in like 6 years. Some people are like, man, he's dead. I mean, y'all think about this now. Now, let's think. They found Osama bin Laden, supposedly, hiding in a house in Afghanistan or Pakistan, where they say they found him. Let's think about that. Gaddafi. This man lived in tents. He hiding out in the city. They knew exactly where he was. They pulled him out when they wanted to find him. Now you mean to tell me they ain't gonna find about how many children? They said 30,000 children is that this man had in his army. But let's say they have like 2,000-3,000 people living in the forest. I mean, first of all, they're military people. You got feces. You got people eating. They gotta, you know, they have to build a community. There has to be a base somewhere in them woods. You can't just hide a few thousand people in the woods. They have satellites that they can look down and see any heat. Okay? Heat detection. Satellites. They will say, oh, here's a group right here. You think that's some buffalo or some deer or whatever the hell, some giraffes or some you know, what's in there? What is it? Like, no, that's them people. Well, go investigate. Okay? It is not hard for them to find this man. I'm just my point I'm trying to make. Okay? It's like they have sent people already in Uganda to get this man. And he ain't been heard from in 6 years. Okay? Now, I'm going to read something to you. I think someone has a question. 804, do you have something to say?
Yes, I do. Peace, Brother Dawee. You know what? I don't believe he really the bad guy, right? That's because this Jew said he the bad guy. He got to be the bad guy. See how they do it? They flash you on the news and just make everything of it, right? But I believe he don't want that foolishness in this country.
Hey, JoJo, we're going to get into that. You know, I believe that we should show both sides of the story.
But don't nobody know his one...
Ain't okay. Nobody knew this man from a can of beans before this damn movie came out. How are we supposed to think about this man? Come on now. How many times telling us how we should think about ourselves? And now they're going to tell us that Coney is some evil, the most number one killer in the world. But we ain't heard his side of the story.
Thank you.
I mean, we got to think. Now, we have to stop being like children. We cannot believe everything that the media tells us. Okay, JoJo, I'm going to continue, brother.
Peace.
All right, now, I'm going to read y'all some history of the Lord Resistance Army insurgency. Now, it's a lot. I'm going to... And then we're going to talk about it. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is from Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is attached to the Central Intelligence Agency, and they know that a lot of people are on there reading about things now to try to get the knowledge, but they can spin it any way they want to. And they had a long time to write anything they wanted to write about this man, Coney. And here we go. Falling for. Now, let's think. What do they want to do with this? They want to send in AFRICOM, something they created in 2000. The ICC has made him the number one criminal in the world. What? Why is it that this brother got to be the number one criminal in the world? Okay? Wake up, y'all. Read it. It says, the area now known as Uganda has been divided along racial and language lines since at least the 4th century BC. 4th century BC. 4th century. That's like 300 and something years before Christ. Uganda. Then it says, Bantu speaking agriculturalists such as the Baganda people in Uganda's south and east created different and competing social and economic structures from the Nilotic language speaking Akuli in the north, whose economic system was centered around hunting and livestock herding. Okay, now what does it say? It says that you had a people in the north that was in the north were revolved around hunting and livestock, right? And then you have people in the South who were agriculturalists, Southeast. So for 386 BC to 1962, we had a people that were able to live together in harmony for over 1,000 years. For 2,000 years, they were living together in harmony prior to Great Britain getting there and messing them up. And now they're fighting like hell. Okay? Now, listen to this. It says, the ethnic and cultural division within Uganda continued to exist during the years of the British Ugandan Protectorate. And this is around the 1860 or 70, something like that. You know, remember the scramble for Africa? A protectorate. It goes, the agricultural Baganda people were closely with the British. In contrast, the Akoli and the other northern ethnic groups supplied much of the national manual labor and came to comprise a majority of the military. See, when they say the ethnical group supplied much of the national manual labor, they mean that they made us slaves in Uganda. All right? Let's just tell it like it is. The southern region and its rich soil and the fertile land became the center of agricultural development. The livestock raising Akuli dominated north of Uganda was relatively poorer than the cash crop agricultural economic of the southern Uganda. After independence in 1962, Uganda ethnic groups continued to compete with each other within the bounds of Uganda's new political system. Now, you got to read between the lines. Remember, prior to the Europeans coming there and the British getting there and messing everything up, they were living in harmony, probably saying, hey, brother, I got some fruit. You got one of them cows? Yeah, sure, I got some cows. You know what I'm saying? They're trading with the livestock. Barter system. Who cares about no money? You starving? Here's some food. We had this system working very well for 2,000 years. But here comes the British. Now, what do they say? They say Uganda's ethnic groups continue to compete with each other within the bounds of Uganda's new political system. They weren't competing before. Y'all see what's happening? Now, and it says after independence in 1962. All right, then it says, now, here's where we get this Lord's Resistant Army. Now, we have an economic problem now. We have competition. This is called divide and conquer. We're going to take this group against that group. Remember when I was reading about the Rwanda? They did the same thing with Rwanda. They went in there. They were living for happy thousands of years. And here they come. Oh, your nose is big. Your nose is small. You know what? You're a little bit lighter than that person. You know, you're higher than that one. Those right there, them people are from Ham. Oh, no, these are the Negroids. And then before you know it, they believe in this mess that these Europeans are telling them, and then they're killing each other. And then 20 or some years later, they have this Rwanda massacre, millions dying, getting chopped up by machetes, because of the interference of these damn Europeans, okay? The same people that are telling us is this the most hated person in the world. Let's stop being children. Okay, in 1988, Alice Lakwana established the Holy Spirit Movement, a resistant movement claimed to be the Holy Spirit of God. She portrayed herself as a prophet who received messages from the Holy Spirit of God. She expressed the belief that the Akuli could defeat the government run by Museveni by casting off witchcraft and spiritualism embedded in their culture. According to her message from God, her followers should cover their bodies with Sheena oil as protection from bullets, never take cover or retreat in battle, and never kill snakes or bees. Okay, now, that sounds like some crazy-ass stuff right there, right? Now, the thing about it is, because I don't know who Alicia Lakwana is, I would like to read what she says and hear from her mouth what she wanted to achieve by putting on this damn shea nut oil. because it sounds crazy to me. And they write this like, you know, never kill snakes and bees. We being set up, y'all. This is that thing where they have us like Africans ain't nothing but buffoons. You know, that same sorry tale that they were telling us back in the day when they said, oh, black people ain't had no culture. They're just in the jungle with noses, bones in their noses. We can just go, they're like children. This is the same thing. Out there rubbing shea nut oil on her and don't kill snakes and bees. All right, then it says, Joseph Kony would later preach a superstition encouraging soldiers to use oil to draw a cross on their chest as protection from bullets. Now, anybody that's Pentecostal, who understands the Pentecostal religion, knows that, you know, when I was a Pentecostal, I loved me some olive oil. I would put some olive oil in a glass, and that would be the blessing oil. I'd be like, oh, gotta get that olive oil. What they say? Oh, we got to bless it, put the olive oil on the doorpost. You know what I'm saying? This Pentecostal belief. We putting olive oil everywhere. Demons come up, put the olive oil on it. So I believe that when they talk about this shea oil and all this oil, I think this has something to do with that demonic binding thing going on here. Okay. Now it says here, during an interview, Alice Lacuana distanced herself from Kony, claiming that the spirit doesn't want them to kill civilians or prisoners of war. Kony sought to align himself with Lacuana and in turn garner support from her constituents, even going so far as to claim that they were cousins. Meanwhile, Kony gained a reputation as having been possessed by spirits. He became a spirit figure or a medium. Now, we know, coming from a Christian nation, that type of wording would make us think that this man ain't nothing but a damn demon. Okay? And when I first read this, I was like, oh, man, these people are crazy. I'm like, what's she talking about? Shea oil? Bullets? Oh, man, these people done lost their damn minds. And then they told me about Kony. Now, I'm like, man, that man after eating people? And I'm like, man, they need to get that fool. When I first heard, then I said, wait, hold on, wait. Come on, Dave. Wake up. Wake up. Who is giving me this message? Let's hear it from Kony himself. All right, then it says, Joseph Kony, along with a small group of followers, first moved beyond his home village of Udak, 1st of April, 1987. A few days later, he met with a small group of former Uganda Nationalist Liberation Front soldiers from the Black Battalion, which he managed to recruit. They then managed to launch a raid on the city of Gula. Then it says, Lacombe scored several key victories on the battlefield and began a march towards Kampala. Kony seized his opportunity to recruit members of the Ugandan People's Democracy Army, UPDA, and the Holy Spirit Remnant in 1988. And Lacuana was defeated in Jinja and fled to Kenya. Kony became the leader of the Holy Spirit Mobile Force some years later. Then it says, For a decade starting in the mid-1990s, the LRA, Lord's Resistance Army, was strengthened by military support for the government of Sudan, which was retaliating against Ugandan government support for rebels in what would become South Sudan. Sudan withdrew its support for LRA shortly after the ICC issued a warrant for Kony's arrest. However, in 1996, the LRA declared a ceasefire for the duration of the elections, possible in the hopes that Museveni would be defeated. Then it says in January 1997, the LRA attacked Lamuwa and the northern Uganda. More than 400 people were killed, and approximately 10,000 people were displaced. Okay, now what I'm reading here, I'm not going to continue to read it. Is this is a man that's you know, in guerrilla warfare. It's like Omar Gaddafi. What's his name? Gaddafi. Gaddafi was also one of these freedom fighters. And they told us what we are supposed to think about Gaddafi. But what we have to understand is that Gaddafi, there was four tribes in Libya. He was able to have these tribes unite. He didn't really control the tribes. He was just that leader that was the one that was able to negotiate where they can work together. And when Gaddafi was able to work with these people, you know, they're like, well, Gaddafi was a dictator. He had all this money. Think about this, man. Think about this now. He had control of billions of dollars. He had 144 tons of gold. What did he do? He spent $30 billion on a system of water, on a system that would take water throughout Africa, therefore feeding the Africans that were in the states closest to him and helping solve that world hunger problem. Okay? He also lived in tents. Okay? He lived in tents. If he lived in tents, okay, then that means that he, okay, I'm sorry to read some. Okay, he lived in tents. He lived in tents and said that his mom and father would not be housed until every single Libyan in his country would be housed. Does this sound like an evil dictator? Then when they go visit Gaddafi, they said this is Gaddafi's hideout. And this is one of his many tents. He had like stuff from the 70s. I got better TV than Gaddafi had. I got better couches. He got like the old ass carpets and stuff. I'm like, this man lived in that? He had all that money. Now his sons, they probably splurged a bit. They'd be like, Dad, I don't want to live in no tent. You know what I'm saying? That's a new generation. But Gaddafi was a man of humble means. Because right now, do you see any Gaddafi castles on the news lately? You know, they be like, here's Gaddafi's Hummer. You know what I'm saying? This is Gaddafi's yacht. This is Gaddafi. Look at the money he spent, and he's helping his country. Nah. That man has some tents. He was investing in the country. He wrote the Green Book. The women were going to school. People were educated. Now, I'm just going by what I see. Look, I don't know what the man did. I'm still trying to find it. I had a brother from... Here, a Muslim guy, he can't stand Gaddafi. I was like, well, tell me what he did. He's like, well, you know, he's telling me the same stuff the media told him. I'm like, man, what do you know he did? He's like, well, he killed a lot of these people that were against him. He'd had the incidents where he would have these people in prison and kill all the people that are in prison. Okay, now that's some evil stuff because you're bringing the people for trial. But this is still hearsay. Okay? Say. And it's like, why don't they bring this in the media? What did he do? Give me something here. The other week, if y'all were paying attention a few weeks ago, I know I'm getting excited. I should calm down because I got to save my voice. But a few weeks ago, they had in the news that that Lockheed bomber incident. Look it up. Gaddafi did not do the Lockheed bombing incident, and neither did that guy. Come to find out that the bombing was actually a by the CIA, because they were able to match a bomb from this material that was found, and they find out that forged, and then the person that was the number one witness was actually paid $2 million to lie, and the guy is actually saying, I don't really blame him for lying, him to apologize. And I mean, it's like, look this up, this actually happened. Gaddafi did. That means the CIA killed all those people and blamed it on him. If they did that, what else did they lie about? Man, this ain't about Gaddafi. I don't want this whole thing to be about Gaddafi, but come on, y'all, come on. Now they want us to hate Kofi. Okay? Now they want us to hate Kofi. Anything to say before I'm going to play another audio file. I'm going to put up some lines real quick. Hey, y'all.
I was just thinking about that before you left. The only thing I could give you was...
Hey, you got anything to say, JoJo?
No, I'm just listening. I'll plus one if I do.
Okay. All right. See, I'm gonna Okay, I'm going to continue. Does anybody have any questions in the chat room? Because I'm checking the chat. Okay, if you have any questions, just type them in the chat, read it, and then, you know, I'll make sure that you can participate in this here. All right, now, what I'm going to play something for you. And this is an audio file. And I'm going to speak on about why they actually attacked Libya. Okay? Now, listen to this. I think I played it before, but listen to it like you haven't heard it before. All right? If you did hear it before. Okay, here we go.
According to some, it's about protecting civilians.
And our resolve is clear. The people of Libya must be protected.
Others say it's about oil.
The only reason they're interested with Libya is about the oil. You'd think we'd be in Iraq if the major export there was broccoli.
But some are convinced intervention in Libya is all about currency. Specifically, Gaddafi's plan to introduce the gold dinar, a single African currency made from gold, a true sharing of the wealth.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret, because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000. Called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested. I think most countries in Africa were keen.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. The UK has double that, but 10 times the population.
If Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency or maybe launch a gold dinar currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro. A gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
The United States should welcome the self-determination of Africans. They certainly have denied self-determination to Africans inside the United States, so we're not surprised by anything that the United States would do to hinder self-determination of Africans on the continent.
The UK's gold is kept here in a secure vault somewhere in the depths of the Bank of England. As in most developed countries, there's not enough to go around. But that's not the case in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold. Some say the US and its NATO allies literally couldn't afford to let that happen. Laura Emmett, RT.
Okay. Do you have it? Okay, I mean, you got Russian today that are like reporting on this and, you know, doing some really good reporting when our media isn't even going nowhere near, you know. And another thing to mention about our media not even mentioning it. Do you know what happened the other day? Yesterday, the guy that did this Kony film, Kony 2012, was caught masturbating in the street, butt naked. They got him on that TMZ thing, arrested him. They didn't arrest him. They didn't arrest him like a normal person would be. They just put him into observation in the hospital for observation. And CNN didn't even have it on the site. You have to search for it. I don't know if it's there now because I haven't looked. But you have to search for it to even be on CNN. And then they like say, oh, he was stressed, I'm like, wait, hold on now. This man had the most viewed film of all times, like at that point, 80 million views for this type of film. It was a new experiment. He was all over the internet. People are basically complaining that his NGO only gave 70% to the actual call. So he was defending his thing. It's all over the internet. Then this man arrested, the one that actually did it in the videos, gets arrested for masturbating. And it's not even on the front page of CNN. Why are they trying to hide it? Why? Because they know that this whole propaganda piece is nothing but that, a propaganda piece. If it happens to, if it comes out that this man was masturbating, people start to question, this is an unstable individual here. And Congress deals with this man and decided to send troops to Africa because he wants to care about this Kony guy. Then they have to look at all the people that are complaining about how fake it, how they are exaggerated, and how this NGO is nothing more than a propaganda piece for the military and AFRICOM to send people in and exploit Africa. That's what this really is. Now, if they get in there and they start exploiting Africa, a lot of people are going to die. Military don't go in there to fix nothing. You send the military to destroy. It's going to be a battle for the resources with China. They're going to go in there and install governments that will definitely be for their will. They're not going to share the wealth with the people like they never do. They're going to go in there giving vaccination. Oh, yeah, by the way, I found out that the smallpox, they put the AIDS virus in the damn smallpox. And they were giving it to the our people. Because you can follow. There's an article that came out in 1987. I got to find it. I got to put it on my web. But it states that the WHO organization smallpox was contaminated with this AIDS virus. And they contaminated millions of people. Now, the programs that they targeted where the AIDS virus spread was, guess what? All throughout Africa, Brazil, not Paraguay, but Brazil. I wonder why Brazil, because that's the largest amount. And Haiti. I mean, can they make it that they're trying to kill us? So, and these same people are now going to move into Africa under AFRICOM to assist us? Oh, come on, y'all. We got to see this one coming. And then they're using Kony 2012. To get Kony? Now, what I'm going to do, I have a lot of files to play because I like to let them speak for themselves, let the files speak for themselves. And after this, I'm going to open up the phone and hopefully have something to say. But what I'm going to play is I found something, and it was on the internet March 10th, okay? And I was surprised that I actually found it. And what it is some guy went out there in the bush and he found Joseph Kony. And he was able to interview him. And I was like, what? And it's the same video that they're using for this Kony 2012 and all these pictures. I'm like, they know where this man is? If this journalist is going to go walk out there. It's like, remember when they found Osama bin Laden in a cave and the reporter went there and was like talking to him. We were like, wait, ain't this man wanted? And this man's actually talking to him in a cave? How'd he find him? What'd he call him up? He's like, yo, I want to interview. Where you at? I'm up here in the caves on, Afghanistan. Make a right. come to the left. You know what I'm saying? Now, this man's just walking out there like, hey, come to me. You know what I'm saying? This man's wanted, and he getting all of a sudden, this British guy can just walk up and meet him. This is crazy. Anyway, I'm going to play the audio, and then we're going to, let me see if I can find it. Hold on, y'all. I got these things set up a certain way. Okay, here we go. Now, this is pretty lengthy, but it's good because it gives you a deeper insight into this Joseph Kony thing. Now, judge for yourself now. Now, let me be clear here. If Joseph Kony did those things, chopped off the faces of the kids and killed the parents, I mean, this man got to be strung up by his toenails. But he needs to be judged by his peers, and they need to have justice. Don't give the justice to an international criminal court, because there ain't nothing but criminals in that criminal court running the court. The only justice that they want is justice for their backers, which is the IMF and World Bank, in order to get the resources. This International Criminal Court can make it where if they want to make me a criminal for something that I did, which is nothing, but if they want, they can do that. They can make anybody a criminal they want. So we have to be careful in giving these powers to these people when we know that these people do not have our interest in mind. If Joseph Kony is guilty of the things that you said he did, hang that man up by his toenails. But we have to judge him in a court of law. And we have to be a part of that proceeding. If it's international, let it be televised. Let us hear both sides of the story. Because you telling us the story, I'm sorry, you're not a credible witness. You have your own interest in mind. So how can we trust you? Okay? All right, now I'm going to play this file. And then after you hear it, you can judge for yourself.
As we walked through the bush, I finally believed I was going to meet Joseph Kony. And there he was, the man I'd been chasing for a year, the man who's eluded the Ugandan government for 20 years. Of the handful of images of Kony, the most famous is of a man in his 20s with dreadlocks. He's now in his 40s, but his hatred of the Ugandan president Yoweri Museveni hasn't changed.
You are the first journalist to come to me in the bush like this. So with me, I am here. You have now seen me. I'm a human being like you. I have brain. I wear clothes also.
Describe yourself to me. Tell me who you are.
I'm a military position who is fighting in Uganda. I'm a freedom fighter who is fighting for freedom in Uganda. But I'm not a terrorist.
But the manner used to achieve these political aims has been horrific. Thousands of child fighters and civilians have been slaughtered, hacking off lips, ears, and limbs are just some of the methods used by this ruthless rebel group.
You have been accused of terrible crimes. You know, people having their ears cut off, people having their lips cut out.
That one is not true. That is propaganda which Museveni made.
I've seen the photos of people with no lips.
Yes. That is propaganda which Museveni made. Let me tell you clear. That thing was happening in Uganda. Museveni went in the village and he cut the ear of the people, telling to the people that thing was done by LRA. Which is not true. I cannot cut the ear of my brother. I cannot kill the eye of my brother. I cannot kill my brother. That is not true.
Are you saying that the LRA have never been involved in any abductions, any mutilations, any rapes?
Yes.
They've never been involved?
LRA has never been involved on that part.
Most of Kony's fighters have been with him since childhood. Since the time they were abducted from villages in northern Uganda. War is the only life they've known.
Kony
has been accused of kidnapping, indoctrinating, and imprisoning tens of thousands of children in his army. While I was there, I didn't see any young children, but some told me they were 15.
I did not abduct anybody there. Some civilians, they are volunteer themselves to come and join me so that we stay together to protect their life, to defend themselves here. Do you think that the children can afford that condition of war? They will not. You see, that is propaganda which Museveni is playing. I don't have any children here.
But that's not the line he later takes with his troops. If I were president, all children would carry a gun, he tells them. To me, fighting is as normal as ironing a shirt.
8, 9, 10 provinces.
20 years of war have involved atrocities on both sides, the LRA and the Ugandan government.
Show me the place where we are now.
This is a different map.
In a war fought mainly in the bush, out of sight of cameras, the truth is hard to establish.
Not feel happy, definitely.
Riek Machar has taken on the role of bringing both sides together for peace talks. But as with previous attempts, it's going to be extremely complicated.
So we meet tomorrow.
I'm still unclear. Exactly, what are your objectives? What are your aims? What are you really fighting for?
We want the people of Uganda to be free. We want the people of Uganda. Let me say it inside that we are fighting for democracy. We want people to be a total democracy, free. We should be free to elect our to select our lead to elect our leader. We want our leader to be elected leader, but not a movement like the one of Museveni. Sam, come.
Let me film a little bit longer.
As we ate together, it struck me that Africa's most wanted man, who's never been interviewed by a journalist, seemed guilt-free, more interested in the record of other war criminals.
I've seen here the former president of Liberia.
Joseph Kony and four of his most senior commanders are the first people to have arrest warrants issued by the International Criminal Court.
So that you will record me.
Kony alone is accused of 33 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity.
I'm not guilty. At this time it is very difficult to do. But when we talk this peace talk, and that peace talk, when we talk and everything is finished well, we go and talk.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
We go and judge that case. To show that I'm not found guilty. Yes.
So this is the emblem of the Lord's Resistance Army. In the middle of the harp is the Ten Commandments of God. We are fighting to defend the Ten Commandments of God because people are not following the Ten Commandments of God.
Kony is accused of controlling his forces with a mixture of distorted Christianity and brutality. Their ideology, they say, comes from the Bible.
Has God told you to fight this war?
No. It's not like that. God did not tell me to fight this war, no.
How many spirits speak to you?
Very many. I don't know the number. But they speak to me. They talk to me. You know, we are guerrilla. We are rebel. We don't have medicine. But with the end of spirit, they will tell to us, you, Mr. Joseph, go and take this thing and that thing.
Joseph Kony has been elusive for so many years that he's achieved an almost mythical status, both among his supporters and his enemies. The fact that he allowed me to spend time with him may be significant. He may be preparing to come out of the jungle and engage in talks with the Ugandan government. But it wouldn't surprise me if he slipped back into the bush, never to be seen again.
Okay. Now, when this audio file becomes available, I want you to download it and do your research on Joseph Kony. And, you know, make your own judgment of this person. Remember, that man said this is the first journalist that was ever able to talk to him face to face. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something really quick. Sister Shawanda, you hear me?
Yes, I do.
All right, now what do you think about that audio file I just played?
Well, I just think that it's just it's just like I would call it like propaganda. Or what you call it, propaganda?
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, you got this one guy, and he's able to interview him. Do you hear spirits? Does, quote, God speak to you? I mean, the whole thing, I mean, in my opinion, it was almost as if Kony didn't actually know what the interview was about. Like, he had one agenda, and the guy had another.
Yep.
You know, the guy had this.
Bring into peace.
His whatever he wanted to do, and then I don't know what he told him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he told him to get this interview, but it's not what ended up happening.
I know.
I don't get evil from this man.
Me either.
Maybe he's doing something else, but I don't get evil. I've been watching it. I just don't get evil. It's like, I don't think he knows what's going on.
Yeah, I think he's pretty clueless on what they're using him for.
Yes, it's clear. You can see. I'm like, I don't think this man knows exactly what's going on. I think that, you know, these two people got together. One has his agenda, and the other one is thinking that he has the same agenda as he does, and he doesn't. It's that double cross thing you have going on. What can you say?
They're using this man. They are using him. Let me oppose something here. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know if this man gets brought up against the criminal court, the ICC, we're not going to be a part of that hearing. We're not going to hear anything. It's going to be closed to the public. They're probably going to call him, you know, name off his crime, stamp him guilty, and then kill him. Right.
Right.
So what we have to do is let's try him today, okay? Now, I'm going to be the defense lawyer, all right? Because I figure if this is justice, let's at least try him right now. Now, in his defense, I'm going to go over a couple things. And just remember, you have to be guilty until proven innocent, right? If someone's going to accuse you of doing something, sister, you can be like, look, you have to prove that I did it to tell that I'm guilty because I know I didn't do it, right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to pose something here. Now, this is very important. Now, did the dictator, okay, use his army to cut the faces of the children to scare them from joining the IRA? Because, you know, they said that this man was cutting the faces and lips. You saw the pictures.
Right.
Do you think it's a possibility that Museveni could have used his army to cut off faces and lips and noses and blame it on the LRA to scare them from joining this resistance movement? Is that a possibility, sister?
It's probably not only a possibility. It's probably absolutely what happened.
Oh, okay, wait. Now, we can't make any absolute. Now, this is a court.
We can't.
I'm just bringing forth some possibility. Now, here's another one. Did the dictator, Museveni, kill the parents of the children that joined the LRA? Think about this now. If your child, if Joseph Kony is going around getting children from the village, and he says, come join this resistance army with me, and the parents say, yes, take the children. Then the Museveni comes in with his army, and he kills the parents of the children that joined the army as an example, so no other child would join this army. Do you think that could be a possibility, sister?
Yes, it could be.
Okay.
Reasonable doubt is what we call it.
It's reasonable doubt. Now, I have another question. Why would you join an army that made you kill your own parents? Okay? Supposed to be a Christian group. They joined the army with Joseph Kony. And think about this. He gives them a gun. Okay? He gives weapons to these kids that, and he just killed their family. Do you think that Joseph Kony would survive if he just killed your mama and your daddy?
I have reasonable doubt of that.
Now, I'm going to tell you from my personal experience. I don't have experience, but let me say if this happened to me. If Joseph Kony came into my village, chopped up my brother and my sister, took me away, and then made me kill my mother and my father, and gave me a gun, Joseph Kony would not wake up the next night. Okay?
I'm in agreement with that.
Now, how many Africans do you think he gave guns to after he killed their parents?
How many Africans do I think that he gave guns to after he killed their parents? Well, probably zero.
Exactly. Because Joseph Kony would not survive. Now, mm-mm. Sister, do you think why do these Europeans think that the Africans are weak-minded people?
I don't know. You know, it goes into that whole white supremacy thing.
See, the thing about it is we are not weak-minded people, okay? And we are African, sister. I'm an African, and I'm not weak-minded, okay? Now, we need to start minds that the Most High gave us. And we need to start questioning the things that they are telling us about this man that is the number one wanted fugitive on the ICC. Now, I'm sorry, but if I was holding this hearing, I have to say that this man, Museveni, he has been in power for almost 30 years, and he is being given this power by the United States. If Joseph Kony were to come in there and try to disrupt this power structure, using kids and putting weapons in their hands and helping them fight, it wouldn't last that long. But if Museveni could actually chop the face off somebody and say, that is what Joseph Kony did, or that's what you will get if you join him, that fear alone would make anybody not join that LRA. Do you agree with me, sister?
I agree, and I also think that you probably have the CIA and the British intelligence, what is that, the MI6, MI5, whatever they are, working along with it. So, mm-hmm. You know, this is the same old story over and over. This man could not be the most wanted person in the world. It is just not possible.
It's whacked.
It's just not possible. Let me see. I wrote down some things as you were going along. And
okay.
Let's see here. Let me see. Let's talk about this gold standard for a second. They wanted the gold dinar, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see. Mostly when they say this is the British in the United States that didn't want to do this. When we're talking about going back to, what's that man's name, Gaddafi?
Yeah.
Yeah, they most definitely didn't want it to go to the gold standard because they couldn't hang with that. It's just the same thing over and over. I'm just amazed. I mean, when you start being able to see what's going on, you're like, man, why can't anybody else see this? They're lying to us.
Yeah, they got it all wrapped up. These people are so demonic. I mean, they're evil. Now, I wrote something down real quick. And I was just writing this, and hopefully I can get it right. Now I'm gonna finish with Joseph Kony on this, and then we're gonna take it another direction. But you know, just for the future, I think that the ICC, if they catch this man, I think they already killed him. But if they catch this man, I would like to see a public court proceeding, and I would like to hear both sides of the story.
Now, the LRA, they say they are guerrilla fighters fighting for freedom. Okay? Now, the question is, who is the oppressor that they were fighting against? Who was the dictator? Because there has to be, you know, a reason why this man created this LRA. Who was the oppressor? Who's the dictator? Okay? How long was he in power? Who gave him that power? Who gave this dictator that power? Now, do you trust this beast?
I don't know.
Who owns the news? Who owns the banks? Who is right now attacking Syria? Who murdered Gaddafi, bombed Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Vietnam, nuclear bomb in Japan, depleted uranium in Fallujah, depleted uranium in Libya, over a million dead men, women, and children in Iraq, tens of thousands of dead men, women, and children in Afghanistan and Pakistan. We got Agent Orange in Vietnam. Agent Orange. We have the drones attack for Afghanistan. Okay? Is this who was Coney was fighting? See, this beast is the one that put Museveni in power. This same beast is the one that controls the CIA. So all I'm saying is, before we take a pitchfork and then we wrongfully fry this Joseph Kony, we better first hear what he has to say. And then we have to look at the track record of this beast. Because if Joseph Kony is going to be brought up on these criminal charges, then we have to bring up this Museveni as well. Okay? Now, because it takes two people to fight a war. All right. Now, we know what's going to happen if Museveni does come up. If he starts talking, he starts, you know, he's going to start talking, telling all the people about the CIA involvement. So, you know, that's not going to happen. All right. So I'm just saying that, you know, before we start, we cast our judgment on Joseph Kony, we really have to wake up and realize that we are fighting this beast. The man that brought forth this documentary was caught just yesterday masturbating butt naked. Okay, crazy person. Then they're taking most of the funds. Then they go around Congress getting them to sign this bill, and now AFRICOM's gonna go in there to take the resources. Come on, y'all. This is just too good for them. All right. We need to wake up to this. You got something to say, sister?
Well, you know what? It just gets very exhausting because it seems like these people, these powers that be, these demonic forces that are just at never ending, they're never ending and they're always up to something. And it's frustrating because some people do see it, but in America, you know, most of us don't see it because we don't even get the real news. So, you know, no one questions, and if they are questioning, then people think they're either in a cult or what's the other one? They're conspiracy theorists. So to me, it's just frustrating. But I'm going to just continue to, like, look for the truth and to see what's really going on out here and ask the question, because most people, they won't even ask the question.
I know. And you know what? I'm doing more than just look. I'm actually trying to tell people, like, I will speak with anybody. I don't care the difference that we have on theology. Maybe you don't agree with some of the research that I have came up with, but that don't mean you have to not speak to me. I mean, just because I come up with a different, different ideology, not ideology, different information than you came up with, let's not be enemies on that issue, because we don't realize that the enemy is just sitting back waiting for opportunity till we have no power at all, so he can do what he wants to us at will. Right now we can't do what he wants to at will. He's still scared of the little power we have, but we can gain tremendous amount of power
if we just have unity. So from this day forward, and I was doing it for a while though, I'm working with anybody. Anybody. Especially my brothers and sisters.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, because I believe that we can have disagreements on certain things, and we don't have to be disagreeable. Just because you don't believe as I do don't mean that I can't give information and share information with you. That's ridiculous. That's probably what they want.
Yeah.
Division.
Yeah. Yeah, they want division. When I say everybody, I mean, I don't mean no damn white supremacist, no craziness, no like that. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't think that you did.
Yeah.
I mean, viable resources.
Know, viable resources, and we got the Oyatunji brothers a few weeks ago.
David Hitt. Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, we got more in common than we do an opposite. We have the same struggle. We all need to eat. We all need to feed ourselves. We all need to protect our families. Okay, just because we have a different understanding of the Creator does not mean that we cannot come together and figure it out. There is only one.
Oh, absolutely not. That's crazy. Yep. I'm absolutely in agreement with that. As long as you're not trying to put off your philosophies on me, hey, we can go full steam ahead.
I heard that. Oh, hold on, since I got
need
somebody.
To.
I got somebody trying to get in here. 770, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I do have a comment.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to go into the way, this is how I see it. I see that they're kicking it into a different phase. They've been coming with the soft kill in so-called Africa, which in the southern part of Africa, really, to me, where I'm at, wasn't even Africa. It wasn't called ham. It actually was called Negro land at one point in time. And then later on, they just tried to make it look like the whole continent was Africa, but the southern part was called Negro land. And that's where primarily a lot of Hebrews were. That's what we're dealing with here in this situation. And I believe they're moving into the elimination of the seed of Yaakov. That's why I believe they're going after this guy. I believe that he, even if he doesn't flat out know that he's a Hebrew, just listening to his input on how he wants to install the Ten Commandments, it seems that the Most High is starting to move it into his heart and persuade him that way, if he's not dead at this point. And so I believe that that's primarily what they're going after. Because I was watching the news the other day, and it was this famous actor and some senator in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and they had got arrested, and they were getting arrested so that they could kind of turn focus into getting us to go into Sudan as well. So basically what I'm trying to say here is they're not just over there to plunder the resources anymore. It's not about that, because they have everything. They got all the gold now. They have all the silver. They have everybody with the fiat currency and basically having nothing. So they pretty much have closure on the resources. But now it's actually eliminating the seed of Yaakov, because you have to eliminate and you have to get rid of the promise. You have to try to stop it before it happens. So this is where they're primarily going to. So this is why they're moving into Africa. And I do not believe that all Africans or so-called Africans or whatever you want to call them are the children of Israel, but I do know that there is a large majority of the children of Israel still over there, primarily Judah and Benjamin and Levi. And so I know that they know who the children of Israel are, and they know the distinction between them and the other Hamites, which were primarily the Hamites were actually inhabited the northern part, really, more like Libya and like Ethiopia, like you know, the different places up north, but down lower, that's where the Hebrews actually fled. That's why you get the Limba people in the southern part of so-called Africa. But before, when you go back and you look at an old map, it'll actually show you that wasn't even called, it wasn't the same thing, that was called Negro land, because that's where we were. But they know who we are, and now they were doing the soft kill with the vaccine program and everything, but the people are starting to realize, hey, y'all coming over here shooting our children with vaccines, and they're getting these diseases and dying. And so now that they come in with the hard kill, let's take the military in and let's eliminate these people. And so they're just starting it. They're kicking it in more or less over there, but they, you also know that they're going to do the same thing in the United States. And then if you're in Switzerland, it's coming in Europe. We just are finna be on the run. And then I have one thing to say in his defense. When you at war, you might do something. You might have to take somebody's head and chop it off and hang it up on a stick and put it out in public because you are at war. You got to make an example. But if it's a criminal, the criminal is the person who pushed you to that point to where you end the war. Now, they came in and implanted their puppet government, and he, the man wasn't for it. And so he wasn't for the puppet government, and he decided to take a stand. So, of course, he's the public enemy number one. And to the Edomites, yeah, he is the world's greatest terrorist because everything he's about, he's not for their terms. And so that's where I'm at with this Kony 2012 thing.
Is this Brother TJ?
Yep.
Yeah, that is Brother PJ.
Okay, I thought that was you. How are you?
I'm pretty good, and yourself?
I'm good. We don't know each other, but I just recognize your voice. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Good, PJ. Good talking to you, brother.
You as well, sir.
Now, I wanted to move topics, but I'm not going to. I think we should stay on this, only because I want people to really know where I'm coming from on this. And I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm going to try to be clear. Okay? Now, if they are able to make Joseph Kony the boogeyman, then they will have an excuse to use AFRICOM to be in Africa just like they are in Iraq and murdered 1.5 million people, and they put depleted uranium in that country and totally wiped them out. They did the same thing to Afghanistan and Pakistan. Okay? We know the history of this beast. Just look at Vietnam. Look at the bombs in Japan. I mean, we know what the United States military is capable of. Not to mention the fact that they have already been doing it with the Central Intelligence Agency. So what is AFRICOM doing? Well, AFRICOM is just basically them being like, okay, we're going to be more obvious about it because they plan to turn this up. If they're not going to do it on the DL, well, we know DL is like a nasty word. Okay, if we're not going to do it on... if they're not going to do it on the, if they're not going to hide and do it, then they're just going to be out in the open with it. And that means that, you know, they need an excuse. And now think about this. Here's what's the most evil thing about this. All right, now think about this. They are promoting Kony to high school kids. These high school kids are writing Congress by the thousands, millions, telling them, go fight Africa. They are setting up a war that they are going to have to fight when they're old enough to go in it. Because most of these kids are like 14, 15 years old. 3 or 4 years, they're going to get recruited or drafted to go fight in this war in Africa. And when they're clueless about what they're doing right now, promoting a war that they are going to have to fight in and possibly die in. That's how sick this system is. What they need to do is they need you to be complacent with your destruction. That's the key. They need you to be complacent with your destruction. You have to pay for the water that you're putting in your stomach or in your body to kill you. You have to pay for the aspartame that you're going to chew and make your brain go crazy. You got to pay for the Coca-Cola that you drink that makes your brain go crazy. You have to pay for those shoes that are made in China to make sure your jobs are shipped overseas. You have to vote for Kony 2012 so your dumbass could go and fight in a war that you are going to die in. You have to be complacent in this system of the beast, and that's their power. But if we wake up to it, and we become knowledgeable of it, then we can fight it. Okay, I think I got somebody calling me. 252.
Shalom, bros. Shalom, family.
Hey, shalom.
Yeah, Shalom. I just wanted to say, family, just like the scriptures say, there's nothing new under the sun. Matter of fact, what's going on is just one big game of psychological warfare against the American people and the people of the earth in general. I mean, we heard it in Cuba. We heard it in Vietnam.
Same old, same old.
We heard it in Iraq, Libya, Syria. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the opposition, they arm it, they finance it, they give it logistical support, and they also use their own special forces. So this is basically, you know, what they're doing in Africa, what they're doing in Syria, and it's probably what they're wanting to do in Iran. Thank God for Russia and China, because they're checkmating them with dealing with Iran, because they're looking at their interests too. But I'd like to say, the Americans, they don't realize that, you know, TV is the biggest form of mind control. You know, they spread lies, propaganda, and misinformation. But research who own all the TV stations. Research who own all the cable stations, okay? But the sad thing is, our so-called leaders, Sharpton, Jackson, people in the Congressional Black Caucus, they're not saying nothing. They're not saying anything about all the black Libyans being tortured and murdered. I mean, they're not saying nothing. They're not saying anything about the recolonization of Africa. It's just a very sad situation. And in that International Criminal Court, I mean, that's a racist entity with no integrity. Because, like I said, they're always bringing indictments against African leaders. But you rarely see, you know, like you said, 1.5 million plus in Iraq, about 40,000 in Afghanistan, you know, hundreds in Pakistan, hundreds in Libya, all these drone attacks. I mean, if that don't come up to the standard of crimes against humanity and war crimes and wars of aggression, there's no such thing as it. So it's just what we're seeing. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just an evil, crazy world that we live in. And that's all I have to say.
You know something, brother? You just reminded me of something. Let me see my notes. I actually have, there's a guy, he's the head prosecutor. His name is, get this fool's name. Oh, Luis Marino Ocampo. Look that name up, Luis Marino Ocampo. Just go to ICC and look up the prosecutor. This, when before he was a prosecutor, right, I wanted to do a quick, He worked in Argentina. And this in Argentina, see if I find this paper. And he defended, like, some of the most lowest criminals in the world. And he's supposed to be a prosecutor of justice, right? He had his own firm, right? And it says that, let me see, who was it? All right, it was some priest that was accused of molesting some children, a priest, and he defended him. And then the man that brought down Argentina, you know, the one that actually, you know how they had Argentinas hitting on the pots and pans and stuff? He actually defended that guy too. You know? So they were like, hey, he's this is the best person we can get. You know what I mean? We can pay him off easily. And have him prosecute people when they know that he is nothing but a crook himself. So it's like, now these are some, I know, but the ICC, they need to come clean. Okay?
Absolutely.
You can't be making this man, Joseph Kony, the most, the criminal. I mean, in the United States doesn't want to even be involved in the ICC, but yet they want to use it to their advantage in order to get the resource. I mean, how hypocritical is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, it's a damn shame. Well, we got about 5 minutes, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to close out on this. I'm going to say I'm going to give a message. And let me find my piece of paper, because I'm going to read something, and then I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to play an audio file to close it out. But what I'm going to read is I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 7:14. I believe within my spirit that we got this. Okay, y'all, we won this because we already awake. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Father, I thank you for this gathering of Hebrew brothers and sisters. I pray that you give us the strength, knowledge, and will to go through what is coming. I thank you, Father, and love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and spirit.
Okay.
And I pray that you continue to just bless us. And we will have the victory. Thank you, Father. In the name of Yahushua, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, y'all, I got about 4 minutes. I'm going to play this audio file. We'll speak on the other side, and I'll set up a broadcast for the future. Okay, y'all?
Shalom.
Okay. All right. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Welcome, dear viewers, to the show. It's only the start of 2012, but already coast to coast we hear reports that humanity has evolved globally. Now that we know the cause of all our woes, Joseph Kony, the world's now on a better path, and the panacea seems to have come from this hero white man here, whose internet video played a vital role in highlighting the plight of Uganda's child soldiers. It went viral and spread with unprecedented speed, shared over Twitter feeds and endorsed by celebrities. To tell us more, we're happy to have him on. It's General Baxter, representing AFRICOM. General Baxter, good to see you.
Right back at ya.
Tell us, what does all this signify for Africa?
Well, Robert,
I can tell you for a start. Kony 2012 really made me appreciate art. When my son showed me this clip, my heart was stirred. I whispered to action to right the wrong that occurred. Tell us your feelings, General. Be honest.
Since we killed Osama, there's been a hole in my stomach.
Sorry to hear that.
I miss him.
Why?
Because we desperately need a new dark-skinned Disney villain so we can justify defense budgets of trillions in a never-ending quest to kill him. And this time, it's African soil where we need to get him broiled and quick before China gets all the oil.
So this Kony is a perfect gift, then.
He looks like a bad guy and he hurts children.
Kony 2012 was an experiment. Was it a success?
Yes. Kids are begging the U.S. to bomb Africa next.
Check this out. Let me introduce you to Gavin, my son. Gavin, what does Daddy do?
Kill poor people with guns.
Yeah. Now look what happens when I show Gavin a picture of an African. Who's this?
That's a bad guy.
That's right. And what do we do to bad guys?
We use drones and armed forces to kill them and take their resources.
Yeah, see, Robert? Even a four-year-old has got it. This makes me so proud. Sorry.
The video's done more than you ever envisaged, and in 27 minutes, without cats or pity.
We used to have to wait for terrorist attacks to justify interventions and mineral grabs. Now, thanks to viral videos, we can send advisors to lynch, arrest, black, bad guys.
And what will you do once they've been caught?
Hand them over to the International Criminal Court.
You mean the same court which the U.S. refuses to submit to for its own war crimes and abuses? Is that hypocrisy?
Robert, honestly, the ICC only prosecutes dark people's atrocities.
Okay, I hear there's been criticism of the video's accuracy, fallacies, and neo-colonial fantasies.
Don't have such a heart of darkness, Robert. Join the missionary industrial complex. Save poor Africa from burning. Accept the white man's burden. Plus, 90 million Americans now know that Africa exists. That's good, no?
I suppose so. All right, General Baxter, thanks for appearing tonight to explain the facts in black and, well, mostly white. Some might disagree with this call to make Kony famous, but what we've witnessed this week is nevertheless momentous. A demonstration of this internet's potential abilities to instantly inform and engage tens of millions, and a willingness of those millions of people to engage passionately with something more meaningful. Combined, these are promising signs of the potential energy that lies dormant and primed, ready to rise when the moment arrives. What that moment will be, we shall see in time.